Welcome to another edition of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Today, I want to start a new teaching series that will last for several programs. I want to talk about Israel, the super sign of the end times. Israel, the super sign of the end times. First of all, before we actually delve into this subject, I think it is important, first of all, to define what we mean by the phrase end times. What does that mean? And also we'll talk about the function and purpose of a sign in Scripture. Why God gives signs. What are their function and purpose? And I see by, and you will see by defining these terms, how Israel, in fact, is a sign that we are living in the end times. The expression end times, last days, latter days, comes from the Hebrew word Acharet Hayamim. Acharet Hayamim. And it literally means, translated from the Hebrew, in the end of days. And it is most frequently found in prophetic passages in the Old Testament. And it usually refers, the phrase, the end of days, it usually refers to the end of the age, or the conclusion of the present age that will occur in the distant future. When the prophets spoke about the end of days, of course, they were speaking several thousands of years ago. So to them, it was a thing, an event that was going to occur in the distant future. And so the phrase means, literally, in the distant future, at the last part of the present age. The first time we encounter the phrase, the end of days, which we call the end times, the first time we encounter this Hebrew phrase, Acharet Hayamim, Acharet Hayamim, is in Genesis 49:1, where the aged Jacob, it knows that his days are few, and so he calls forth his family, all his 12 children and their children, to describe for them in prophetic fashion the things that will happen to each one of them. This is really an amazing prophecy given in parables. It's a parabolic prophecy about Israel's history personified in Jacob's 12 sons, who later became the founders of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so we read here in Genesis 49:1, "And Jacob called his sons and said, gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days." There's that Hebrew word, phrase, again I should say, Acharet Hayamim, the end of days. This is the first occurrence of that term. It can be translated the last days, but it literally means the end of days. And this sets a precedent here for the Word of God. The end of days, the last days, is a recurrent theme and an important one in Bible prophecy. And so whenever you see the word latter days, you need to pay attention to that, because it is usually referring to the end times. The last days refers to a concluding period of history that relates to a particular group, in most cases Israel, and the nations, when God's declared plan and purposes for them are about to be completed. And so we see this term, Acharit Hayamim, throughout the Word of God. In Daniel 2 and Daniel 10, the end of days, the last days, refers to the end of the rule of the Gentile nations with the commencement of Messiah's reign on earth. When you see the end of days mentioned in the Old Testament, it usually is talking about the regathering of Israel and their subsequent salvation in the Messiah when He returns. It can also describe a great time of trouble for the Jewish nation, which we now know to be the Great Tribulation period, a period of 7 years, Daniel 70 weeks, Daniel 9, 24 through 27. In the New Testament, the last days, or the end of days, is twice used for that period introduced by the advent of Christ. The term last days, or the end of days, they mean both the same. They're synonymous with each other. Can also mean apostate conditions described by the apostles said to occur prior to the end of the church age. And so, this term then is very important. It is very important. The rabbis also believed in the concept of Acharit Hayamim, the end of days. They believed that the end of days described a period in Hebrew Scripture that speaks of a period that will be accompanied by great disaster to be followed with the coming of Mashiach, Messiah, to usher in the redemption of the world. They call this period as Yemei HaMashiach, the Messianic Era. The Messianic Era. And so, the meaning for last days has several meanings in Scripture. And it's interesting that the Hebrew understanding of the last days, of course, coincides with some of what the Bible-believing Christian understands the end of days to refer to. And we'll get into more of that throughout this lesson. When you study the end of days period in the Old Testament, the Old Testament teaches that it will begin when Israel is regathered back into their ancient homeland. We learn this from Deuteronomy 28 and 30, Isaiah 11, verses 11 and 12. And in these passages we see that God will regather the Jewish exiles from all the nations of the world where He had scattered them. He will gather them back in to their ancient homeland. And this is already happening in our day, beloved. So that must mean, if we believe the prophetic word, that Israel is being regathered, and God is indicating through this miraculous phenomena that we are living in the last days, the end of days, immediately prior to Messiah's return. And that is exciting indeed. And so we will examine this more fully, of course, in the programs to follow this one. Now let's focus on the New Testament's understanding of the last days or the end times. Now, some terms for Acharit Hayamim, the end of days, in the New Testament are called end times, the latter days, the last times, the latter years, and of course, jumping back to the Old Testament, Daniel's favorite term for this period of time is the time of the end. Remember, in Matthew 24, Jesus' disciples came to him and they asked him about what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age. So they were familiar with the prophetic concept of Acharit Hayamim, the end of days. The rabbis had already had a theology of the end times in place in first century Israel. So the disciples were acquainted with this teaching. And of course, when Jesus prophesied the destruction of the second temple in Matthew 23, they knew from what the rabbis taught that this was a tragedy of apocalyptic proportions. And so they reasoned, well, we've been taught that when such a catastrophic event occurs, that must mean the Messiah will come back and destroy Israel's enemies and rebuild the temple that was destroyed. So naturally, they think that since Yeshua predicted the destruction of the temple, that his kingdom will be immediately established on earth. Israel will be rescued and her enemies will be destroyed. But they did not know, like our Lord did, that there would be a great parenthetical period lasting now for almost 2,000 years between his first coming and his second coming. Of course, Jesus answered their question by giving us the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24. And he talks about, in that chapter, the events of the tribulation period that would occur in Jerusalem and in the land of Israel. Now, it's important to remember that whenever we see the word end times or last days and so forth, that we make sure the context that it is given in Scripture is talking about the end of the present age with the return of Christ. And so I think prophecy scholar Thomas Ice makes a crucial observation about the meaning of the end times when he says, sometimes Christians read in the Bible about the last days, end times, etc., and tend to think that all of these phrases, all of the time, refer to the same thing. This is not the case. Just as in our own lives, there are many endings, there is the end of the workday, the end of the day according to the clock, the end of the week, the end of the month, and the end of the year. Just because the word end is used does not mean that it always refers to the same time. The word end is restricted and precisely defined when it is modified by day, week, year, etc. So it is in the Bible that end times may refer to the end of the current church age, or it may refer to other times. So when you read in the Old Testament about the end times or the end of days, most of the time this phrase is used in reference to the end of the tribulation period. and the return of the Messiah. When you go to the New Testament, you will find three meanings for the last days, the end times, and so forth. Most of the time, though, in the New Testament, the term is used for that specific period of time that will happen right before the return of Christ. However, there are two exceptions to this definition of end times. And they are 1 Corinthians 10:11 and Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. These are the exceptions. Let me read what Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10:11. He's talking about the disobedience of the children of Israel in the wilderness, how they pursued immorality and idolatry, and God destroyed 23,000 in one day. And Paul's exhorting the Corinthians not to follow that same ungodly example, lest they be visited with the judgment of God. And he concludes by that in verse 11 by saying this, "Now all these things happened to them, as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." Interesting there. He's saying that the end of the ages have come, meaning that Messiah has come, he is building his church, and he is coming again. So we are on the back end of history. And if you believe in a strict Bible chronology for history, man has existed for some 6,000 years. Man existed some 4,000 years before the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, since he has ascended into heaven, a period of 2,000 years has passed. And so, Paul is saying here that the church age is that period of time on whom the ends of the ages have come. That means, logically, mathematically, that we are living in the back part of human history, when God will finish his plan with man and then establish his own theocratic reign on earth through the person of Messiah Jesus. So, from this verse here, the last 2,000 years are generally known as a period on whom the ends of the ages have come. Another passage in the New Testament that is exceptional to the normal meaning of end times is Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. Let me read it. The writer of Hebrews says this, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds." Notice here in verse 1 that he uses the term last days. Last days. This obviously refers to the days in which they were living, because within their lifetime God had sent his Son to reveal his great love for mankind. He came to die on the cross as the final sacrifice for our sins, and that once for all perfect forever sacrifice put an end to the Old Testament sacrifices. And so, with the sacrifice of Messiah, the new covenant was inaugurated and the old covenant was fulfilled and made obsolete. So these are the two exceptions to the meaning of end times. They don't have a distinct prophetic meaning here. However, in most cases we find in the New Testament that the end times, or last days, refer to a period that encompasses no more than 7 years. And that period is, of course, called the Great Tribulation Period. Revelation, the book of Revelation, gives you that time period as a period, two periods divided up into 3.5 years. And so the last days then can mean that particular period of time, the 7 last years of this present age, that will conclude with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The last days, the end of days, describes then a period of time leading up to the 7-year tribulation and at other times including it, when this age comes to a catastrophic end and a new age begins to replace this one when Jesus Christ physically returns to this earth in power and great glory to establish His worldwide kingdom from Jerusalem. So we see here that the end times can indicate 3 time periods in the Bible. Again, context will determine which period that phrase is referring to. End times is used to mean 3 time periods in the Bible. First, it can mean the inter-Advent period, covering the entire church age, the rapture, and the second coming of Christ to the earth. Secondly, the phrase last days or end times can refer to the period when the Jews are regathered to the land of Israel from the second diaspora. And third, the term can refer to the last 7-year period of the present age called the tribulation. This will end with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I hope you see now that context is extremely, extremely important when you are talking about the end times. Now remember, the title of this teaching series is called Israel, the Super Sign of the End Times. And so, when we say that Israel is a sign of the end times here we mean is, of course, the period of time right before the rapture, including the Great Tribulation period that will begin after the rapture, and the return of Christ. So the sign of Israel's restoration is an indication that we are near, certainly near, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to earth. The rapture, of course, is an event that could happen at any moment. It's imminent. There is no required prophetic sign to be fulfilled first for the rapture to happen. Now, what is the purpose of a sign? We've already defined what the Bible means about end times. What is the purpose if Israel is to serve as a sign of the fact that we are nearing and living in the end times? Then what is the purpose of Israel as a sign? Well, there are many different kinds of signs found throughout Scripture. You have symbolic signs, signs of one's dedication to God. Joshua and the children of Israel took stones from the crossing of the Jordan and built a memorial out of that. Signs can also be used in terms of circumcision. This was a sign of the covenant between God, Abraham, and his descendants, Genesis 17:11. There are also physical signs in the cosmos, the sun, the moon, the stars, and so forth. And then there are miraculous signs, supernatural works of God, which were signified by His active presence, His power at work, such as the plagues in Egypt, Exodus 7-10. And, of course, the dividing of the Red Sea. And, of course, the Old Testament prophets foretold specific signs and wonders which were to occur and accompany both the first coming of Christ and also His second coming. And then we have messianic signs that Jesus Himself as the Messiah performed, miracles. We have the seven great signs given in John's Gospel that vindicated His claims of being the Messiah. And so, signs as it relates to Israel, this is a supernatural sign given to the Gentile nations that God is at work again in human history. He's always been, mind you, but He's using Israel and their restoration in the latter days to conspicuously demonstrate that He will fulfill His plan and program for Israel, and in doing that, for the whole world as well. Time is running out for me here, but I would like to close with the following incident in history to underscore the miracle of Israel. Over 300 years ago, King Louis XIV of France asked Blaise Pascal, the great French philosopher of his day, to give him proof of the existence of miracles. Without a moment's hesitation, Pascal answered, "Why, the Jews, Your Majesty, the Jews." One should not be surprised that Pascal answered the king in this way, because he wrote the same in his masterful theological work, Pensées. In that book, he explained that the fact that the Jewish people had survived until the 17th century, the time period in which Pascal lived in, was nothing short of miraculous, a supernatural phenomenon. And my friends, the fact that the Jews have survived in spite of all that has been done to them to destroy them and erase them from history is testimony to God's keeping and preserving power. In the next lesson, we will then examine the beginning of this sign from God to the world of His power, His faithfulness, and His love embodied in the creation of Israel. So join us next time on this program, next week on Saturday. Studying the Scriptures is a weekly program that is aired on Saturday from 6 to 6:30 and repeated again on Sunday from 12:30 to 1. 6 to 6:30 p.m. on Saturday, 12:30 to 1 p.m. on Sunday. If you would like to get a hold of us on the web, you can do so at www.searchthescripturesonline.org. And please help us with this radio ministry. We are supported by the people of God who believe in this ministry and in the sound teachings from the Word of God. Until next week, Shalom Aleichem, Yeshua HaMashiach. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.